Even though the episode of Korach and Moshe kind of overrides and overwhelms the parsha, there are mitzvahs in this week's parsha, and one of those mitzvahs is mitzvah pidyon haben. And one of the strangest or most interesting customs that people associate with attending a pidyon haben are the little pekelach, the little bags that you get with garlic and sugar cubes that are there. Usually, sometimes they decorate the baby with them with all the gold and silver, or people take them when they leave. And the question is always, why? Why are we doing this? What's going on here with the garlic and the sugar? So this is one of those areas of minhagim where when you find that there are multiple reasons for something, it probably means we don't know, or we don't have a good answer, but it's just something that we do. It's not a very old minhag. It's not recorded in very old Sfarim. I don't think more than 200, 250 years people have been writing about this minhag. But let's see what they do say about it. And I'll tell you what I think in the beginning are probably some of the main reasons and some of the more creative reasons that have been brought in the last few decades. The most prominent one is that sugar cubes are sweet and garlic is a symbol, a school for fertility throughout halacha, throughout the Gemara. We know the Inyan to have the Ezra is Misakein, established to have garlic Erev Shabbos. It was helpful for the Mitzvah Onah, and sugar is sweet. And these are aspects of bracha, sweetness and fertility, reflects on the event of a pidyon haben. And it makes sense at a pshat level why those two foods are presented or handed out. If I had to say what's the simplest reason, it's probably those two. It's probably that reason. The sweetness of the sugar, the fertility of the garlic is something we probably want to reflect upon at that time by a pidyon haben. Another reason is that people choose to distribute garlic cloves and sugar is because both of them are capable of imparting flavor in additional quantities of food. Meaning I can take sugar and make something sweet. I can take garlic and I can make it taste, I don't know which categorization of the five senses garlic goes under, but I can make it taste garlicky. Exactly, there, that's the scientific definition. I can make it taste garlicky. And therefore, I'm able and allowing other people to participate in the mitzvah as well. Let's see, Rav Moshe Sternbach in the Sefer Orchos Habayis says this reason. He says, V'hanagu l'chalek besuda shum. We give out garlic l'chol echad l'kachemo to take. V'tam nira kevin shecharif ma'od lo tzar chazayis. Well, he says, first of all, it's very sharp. You don't need a chazayis of it in order to consider to have a quantity or to partake of it. U'kein divri ataz, as the Taz writes regarding yayin sarif, regarding schnapps, Shemavarchan al pachas and revius mitnei shechashav. It's chashav on its own because the flavor is very strong. But kolechad lokech lididon, you bring it to your friends. V'yesh lezeh yisod b'Yerushalmi. Apparently, the Talmud Yerushalmi says likach shirayim mesudas mitzvah, that we want people to be able to participate in mesudas mitzvah. But I wasn't at the pidyon haben. I had a job. I couldn't go at a 10 o'clock in the morning pidyon haben. So how do I make sure that you're able to participate in Sudas Mitzvah? Is by taking small pieces of garlic and small pieces of sugar and giving it out to friends from the Sud itself. Well, that allows me out to taste from the Sudas Mitzvah because garlic is strong enough and sugar is strong enough that the taste of those ingredients are imparted and therefore I'm tasting from the Sudas Mitzvah itself. That's what Rav Sternbach says. There's a very popular gilyon, a weekly parsha sheet, that's distributed in Eretz Yisrael called Pninim. So in one of the sheets, Rabbi Sachar Dov Hoffman says in the name of the Klausenberger Rebbe that he would take garlic and sugar and make sure to use them in his dishes in his house going forward for the next 2 weeks. He would add garlic to this dish and sugar to that dish as well. And because these are things that go off flavor, they're not batal. And the school of the Sudas Mitzvah, therefore, can continue for many weeks going forward. So that's reason number two. The major source that discusses this is the Sefer Likutei Pinchas. Likutei Pinchas is written by Pinchas Schwartz. He was a Hungarian rabbi who lived over 100 years ago. And he writes in his Halachos of Pidyon Haben in Simen Shinhei in Sif Tes Zayin. And he cites Rav Shabtai Lifshitz in the Sefer Shari Pidus, who says that it's a minhag shtus. Let's read together. Umashinoagin be'ezim akomos l'chalek shum al sudas pidyon haben. I'm the Sefer Shari Pidus. This is from Rav Shabtai Lifshitz, another Hungarian Rav. Shu minag shtus. It's silly. It doesn't make any sense. Okay. Now, the Likutei Pinchas is not going to take that lying down. He says, V'kvod achi harav hagon bal v'yalket Yosef shlita, my brother, the author of V'yalket Yosef, says, wrote to me, Tam lama shenogin la'achol shum. Why do we have garlic b'pidgin ha'ben? Al pi ha'ragel b'fi ha'olam lomar shemishtatef atzmo b'mitzvah pidgin ha'ben chashuv kilu hisane pei dalataniyos. We'll get to this in a moment. But there is some sort of tradition that if you participate in the suda of a pidgin ha'ben, it's like you have fasted 84 fasts. It's the same koach, the same strength of having fasted for tshuva 84 times. Now, where does that come from? That's not clear as well. The earliest source I know of is the Pritzadik. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes in his essay on Pidgin HaBen, Shamati b'shem ha-Rav HaKodesh Ram Zecher Tzadok HaKodesh Levracha. I don't know which Rebbe that is, but he writes the name of a Rebbe. Shamar b'shem Rabosenu HaKodesh Zecher Tzadok HaKodesh Levracha L'chayim Haba Tesudas Pidgin HaBen Kepei Dalat Taniyos. It says the powerful 84 fasts. Shutikun lefgam habris, it is also a tikkun, it's a rectification of sins having to do with the place of the bris milah. Place having to do with misusing one's errors of privacy, and therefore that's why it's a big thing. And this is cited in the Kaf HaChaim, in Yeradei and Simon Reish Memtes. It also appears in the Taimim and Hagim. But again, no source earlier than that. Who discusses it later? Well, that's the Stei Chemed. The classic work of Halacha and Lamdus, the Seichemen writes in the Marecha Samach and Klal Nun Dalid that in Tuf Reish Nun Tes, so that means 1889, Tuf Reish, the number is 1240. 1240 plus 659 is 1899. So, in 1899, he was in Yerushalayim, and he was invited to a Pidgin HaBen. So he told the people, I can't go, I'm busy. So they said, how can you not go? You go to Sudas Pidgin HaBen, it's like fasting 84 times, pay dalit. So the Seichemed is not a fool, he's like, I never heard that before. Where'd you get that idea from? So he looked around, and he says, I couldn't find anything in any Svarim. So then he writes, and he says, V'nirish ein makor l'davar hazeh, rak sicha na b'fi ha-brios. There's no source for this, it's just something nice people say. There's no real idea that if you go to a Sudas Pidgin HaBen, it's as weighty as fasting 84 fasts. In the Sefer Chochmas Chaim, which is Divrei Torah that were heard from Yosef Chaim Zunfeld, the great Rebbe of Yerushalayim, so they record that he was once sitting at a Pidgin HaBen, and someone said, ah, the Stei Chemed writes that it's made up, it's not a real thing. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zunfeld said, it could be there's not written any Sfarim. He says, I agree with such a premise. But he said, let me tell you where it is hinted to in the Torah. The Pasuk says, v'chol b'chor, every firstborn son, adam b'vanecha tifter, every man, of your children you should redeem. So he says that is a giant Rosh HaTevah. So v'chol b'chor, that right, every firstborn son, and then the next three words spell the Rosh HaTevah of, im davar ma b'pidgin ha'ben, nenis yechashev kilu tanis pedal hisanis. It's all one long Rosh HaTevah. If you're a firstborn son, and someone goes to the Pidgin HaBen, and your nana from the Suda, it's as if you fast 84 times. So Yosef Chaim Zunfeld said, it's one long Rosh HaTevah. So that's a remez that he finds in the Torah. And then Yosef Chaim Zunfeld says, I have another segula that can give a person tshuva and raise them up of the gematria pei dalid. And what's the source? What is it? Learn a daf gemara. Daf is also osios pei dalid. But nobody's interested in that segula. To have the school of Adaf Gemara. They want something else. They want to go to Pidgin HaBen. Nobody wants to put in the effort of the school learning Adaf Gemara. Okay, so that's regarding that. So what does that have to do with this? So he cites the Shuvah Shem Shimon, who says, Kevin Shah Pidgin HaBen Moel Asakin Vekama Bris, the Pidgin HaBen has something to do with rectifying areas of immorality. Umavor Maharizal says in the Arizal, Zalatikun Pagama Bris Trichem Pedal Taniyos, and in order to fix the pagam of the bris, having to do with misusing a place of intimacy, you need to fast 84 times. So vim ken yeshlem shaycha zelazeh, they connect to one another. Fine. Ve'ev shezeh ha'tam, shemavarchim pidgin ha'ben Rosh HaTevos of Gematria, pei hei kamin mila. Pidgin ha'ben is Rosh HaTevos pei hei, which is the same Gematria as bris mila. De bris ha'ma'uver mechavim keneged bris ha'lashon. And the bris of the Aver corresponds to the bris of speaking properly as well. Veitzel pidgin ha'ben meskas in the davar, and he has a whole cheshbon over here. And therefore, he says that at the pidgin ha'ben we serve garlic, because garlic, he says, we have tradition limits Shichva Zara. It takes away from a person having an improper emission, and therefore at the Pidgin Rabbeinu has to do with rectifying the misuse of a person's Aver, so therefore we serve garlic, which limits it. Yeah.
Number one, so if the Chassid says that shum.
That's right, I don't understand it. I don't understand what he means. Because we say that we have shum for Tekanes Ezra because it helps with fertility. So I'm not actually sure what it means to limit it. I'm not sure what it means.
The second-born boys need any help in the...
Good. So we're going to get to that in a second. Yeah.
Not based on any dialogue.
Yeah.
Tekanes Ezra is that the shum stimulates reproduction of the cells.
Yeah.
To produce more sperm cells.
Yeah.
The inhibitory part may be the release.
The release.
Inhibits ejaculation.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, that's what we need. There we go. Okay. Could be. I don't have a good explanation, but we can accept that. Okay. That's number three. Reason number four. The Likutei Pinchas then cites Rav Menachem Mendel Kirschbaum, who is the Av Basin of Frankfurt am Main, who suggested the following reason to him. The Gemar Maseches Nida Daf Lamed tells us famously when the baby comes into the world, the Malach gives him a slap, right? And he forgets all of his Torah, as we've discussed many years ago. The filter we have beneath our nose has nothing to do with that. The Gemara doesn't talk about that. The Gemara just says you get hit on the mouth. It doesn't say that's why we have a mark over here. That's made up. It has no source. But regardless, you get hit by the mouth, and you lose all of the Torah that you learn with the Malach. Now, that's the part everybody knows. Everybody forgets the last part of the Gemara. That's the Shalom Zachar discussion while we go visit him. Correct. But there's one more line in the Gemara that nobody remembers. The next line in the Gemara is, and supports this by the Pasuk in Breishis. And the Pasuk says, "Lepesach chatas rovetz," that when a person enters the world, the Yetzer Hara is waiting from the whole time. Lepesach, when you come in, Bepesach, when you enter the world, the Yetzer Hara overcomes you right away. You're immediately liable to sin due to your loss of Torah knowledge. That's the whole point why the Gemara is bringing that. The Gemara is bringing this drasha to tell us that because you lost all of your Torah knowledge before you came into this world, you're always now in the disadvantage because the Yetzer Hara is stronger against you. They don't have the Torah to protect you. Everybody has that? Good. Then the Gemara says in Shabbos Aflam. Let's look at the Gemara in Shabbos over there on 30b. Darish Ravula, Ravula taught. My Dechsev, what does it mean when it says Al Tusha Harbe, that you shouldn't be too wicked. It says in the Quran, don't be overly wicked. That appears to be a little bit difficult. Harbehu delo lirsha hamat lirsha. Oh, what? So Shlomo Melech is telling us you shouldn't be extremely wicked, but, you know, a little wicked is okay. It's good for you. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore he says, Ella, what it means is misha achal shum, one who eats garlic, verecho nodef, and all of a sudden the odor is spreading. So yachzer v'yochal shum acher v'yarecho nodef, he should go back again and eat another clove of garlic so the odor will spread even further. Meaning, if you were a little bit wicked, don't think that's a reason to be more wicked. That's what Shlomo Melech is telling you. If you have a little bit of Yetzer Hara, you don't have to make it worse just because you have a little bit. Same with garlic. If you smell like garlic, doesn't mean you should go eat more garlic so you smell even worse. So says the Likutei Pinchas, we have garlic at the Pinyan Rabben to remind the child not to continue on the path of Yetzer Hara. The garlic reminds us, don't spread the odor even more. Don't spread your Yetzer Hara further than it needs to be. You're a little child. You were born with the Yetzer Hara overpowering you already. You don't have any Torah. Remind the child, don't take the process of garlic and spread the odor, spread the Yetzer Hara further than it needs to go. Now, there's two issues with that. Could apply to the other reason as well. First of all, according to this reason, you should give out garlic to every child that's born, so that the Yetzer Hara doesn't overcome them. Why over here by Pidgin Rabben? Okay. And the second point I thought is odd is that it's odd that garlic would be connected to getting back one's Torah, which is the whole Gemara. Because the Psikta tells us that garlic is something that is kasher l'shichacha. It's one of the too much garlic is bad for one's memory. So that's a funny thing to invoke when we're talking about losing one's Torah. Okay, reason number 5, 6, 7, 8. We'll do the next four pretty quickly. Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, who is often quoted in the shul in different areas, a fine Talmud Chacham, a big Talmud Chacham, and a Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a beautiful idea, Al Pi Machshava. He says that in life, everyone is going to have times where they need a pidgin. Everyone has times in life where they need to be saved, they need to get out of the situation they're in. They need to be redeemed in some form. Extricating themselves from whatever challenges are going on, they don't fall into depression, they don't fall into their challenges, they don't become overcome with gaiva and haughtiness or whatever's going on. Throughout life, there are going to be times of sweetness that can overwhelm us. So we get taken and swept away by a lot of bracha that we have. Or there can also be times of sharpness and bitterness that we have from the garlic. In all of those situations, we have to understand that everything is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, at the pigeon of the pigeon Aben, we remind ourselves that we also need to redeem ourselves in times of sugar or in times of garlic. That was his idea al derech machshava. Reason number six, this was discussed a little bit in the Kovetz Or Yisrael. Or Yisrael is a Torah journal that's published out of Muncie. They had a number of letters to the editor in a number of editions a bunch of years ago. So one of the authors suggested there's a Bracious Rabba in Perek Pei Dalet, ironically enough, that says as follows. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Mechartim Bana Shal Rachel Be'esrim Kesef Maus. The Hashem said to the Shvatim, to the 10 sons, you sold the daughter of Rachel for 20 pieces of silver, Shein Chamesh Shlayim, which is the value of 5 Shlayim, Lefichach Yekol Echa Be'echan Mafrish Erech Beno, Chamesh Shlayim B'manat Suri. He says, therefore, in the future, as a penalty for what happened, that you sold your brother, you'll have to redeem all of your firstborn children with the same value as well of 5 Shlayim. That's what the Medrash says. So we see, says the author, that there's a connection between Pigeon Aben and Mechiras Yosef. The reason the brother sold Yosef was because of kinah, was because of jealousy. Look at the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that one of the qualities of garlic is it's machnis ava omotzia kinah. Eating garlic brings a person love and removes jealousy. And therefore we give out garlic at the Pigeon Aben. Because the Pigeon Aben is a tikkun. It's a rectification of what the brothers did through their jealousy to Yosef. And we serve garlic, because garlic, according to them, is something that is meant to remove kinah. Connected to this, the Leiv Shlomo says that the above Gemara and Shabbos, Aflaman, and the Gemara and Brachos and Aleph says that a person only eats garlic once because of the heavy smell. Similarly, the parents only get one Pigeon Aben. And therefore they tell him, you know, only it's a one-time shot. Take advantage of it. Just like the Yitzhahara, we don't have too much Yitzhahara. You should know, Pigeon Aben doesn't come around too much. It's a rare thing. The Tzvi Cohen, who's the author of the Ayel Tzvi, he says that Shum Vesuk Vesukar, garlic and sugar, is Gematria Avnei Nisachon Yaakov, a remnant that the child should go in the Derech of the Yavos. And then finally, Rav Alexander Eliezer Knopfler, he in the Sefer Evan Yikra, he suggests that garlic and sugar last for a long time, and we distribute them at the Pigeon Aben, that the simon to the child should have a Arichas Yamim as well. They last for a long time on the shelf, so too they should have a Arichas Yamim, they should last for a long time in order to give the child a bracha. So those are a bunch of reasons for garlic and sugar at the Pigeon Aben, why we take them home. Are they all satisfying? I'm not sure. But something to think about at the next Pigeon Aben that we attend.